from JMO Wealth, Andrew Callagher. Good morning.
Yeah, morning, Mike.
Geez, Infratil, they're all over the place.
Busy. Infratil are busy. So, yeah, Infratil, NZX listed infrastructure business. In June they did the big transaction acquiring the balance of One New Zealand, the old Vodafone, that they didn't already own, and that involved a fairly large capital raise. Well, they're back at the acquisition table announcing another transaction yesterday. Once again, it's in the digital infrastructure space. And, of course, traditionally when we talk about infrastructure, Mike, we tend to think about physical stuff, don't we? Roads, you know, water, gas, distribution, railways, etc. Well, infrastructure these days has a much broader definition, and Infratil very much pivoting over the last few years into the digital space. It's entered into a conditional agreement with a company called HKT Limited. That's a telecommunications business in Hong Kong. That agreement to establish a sort of an ongoing strategic partnership, which will accelerate the growth of HKT Limited's Console Connect business. Now, it's quite likely you won't have heard of Console Connect. I hadn't. It's a software-defined interconnection platform, and sort of delving into that, it's an important part of the digital process. It actually makes sort of connecting to data centers or to your business partners or into the cloud, it makes it simpler and more secure. Infratil will buy 80% of Console Connect from HKT Limited for $160 million, but at the same time they're entering into a JV with them that'll see a further commitment of funds, with both of them committing to jointly investing up to $295 million over the next couple of years to accelerate the growth of that business. So not a big deal, but it sounds quite interesting, quite exciting. Yeah. Over the next couple of years, it's a fairly chunky commitment, and it adds and enhances their existing digital infrastructure portfolio. So Infratil now very much a sort of global business. They announced they were selling some bonds yesterday as well. That's for general corporate purposes. The market was unfazed by this announcement, the share price going nowhere really. It was at 0.79%.
Good luck to them. Speaking of going nowhere, talk to me about China.
China. So a couple of things came out of China, and you know, I've made a sort of commitment to keep an eye on China data because, you know, I think it's important for us. It's not only pivotal in our existing trade relationship, but also important in our ongoing sort of recovery from COVID. Two issues yesterday that I noted. There was a report yesterday detailing the lack of Chinese tourists and the impact of that on countries in Southeast Asia. So it caught my eye because, you know, Chinese tourism into New Zealand is the real laggard in terms of tourism recovery. Most other inbound markets are recovering quite well, but there's a real lack of Chinese tourists at the moment, and it was the growth sector pre-COVID. So these five Southeast Asian countries have the same issue. So Vietnam, Indonesia, Thailand, Singapore, Philippines, they're all sitting between sort of 14% and 39% of the 2019 numbers. The Chinese look like they're simply not traveling at all at the moment. Slightly more worrying, Mike, yesterday were inflation numbers released in China, very much indicating that economic activity is still very weak over there. So their CPI, the consumer price index for June, get this, 0%, no inflation there, nothing to see. Core inflation was up 0.4%, but the fifth month of declining consumer price inflation, so a trend very much in place there. But that was actually a pretty good outcome compared to wholesale inflation. Producer price inflation fell 5.4%. You heard that right, it was down 5.4%. A decline of 5% was expected, so it was worse than that. That is the ninth month in a row of producer price declines in China. So real concerns now being raised that China will enter a deflationary environment, and you've actually got the prospect now of a downward price setting and cutting spiral, which is, oh my, that's just so much in stark contrast to the, you know, the recent fears in Western countries of an upward inflationary cycle. It's certainly not helpful for the recovery over there of demand for our export products.
Numbers, please.
The Dow Jones is up 180 points, which is quite good after looking weak last week. That's about 0.5%, 33,916. The S&P 500 has barely moved, up 1 point, 4,400. And the NASDAQ up 9 points, 13,669. Overnight, the FTSE 100 gained about 0.25%, 7,273 the close. The Nikkei lost 0.6%. 32,189. The Shanghai Composite was up 7,3203. The Aussies lost about 0.5% yesterday, 7,004 the close there, and we lost 0.56%, 11,912. Kiwi dollar, 0.6216 against the US. It's strengthened against the Aussie, Mike, which will help you to pay off all those expensive things you bought in Melbourne, 0.9307. 0.5653 against the euro, 0.4838 against the pound, 87.88 Japanese yen, gold $1,926.09, and Brent crude $77.67.
Have a good one, mate. Catch up tomorrow. Andrew Kelleher, JMIWealth.co.nz.